Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. The prayer for this second Sunday before Advent. Heavenly Lord, you long for the world's salvation. Stir us from apathy, restrain us from excess, and revive in us new hope that all creation will one day be healed. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be? And what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And Jesus said, "Beware that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and 'the time is near.' Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." Then he said to them, "Nations will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and plagues, and there will be a dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance. For I will give you the words and the wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." This is the Gospel of the Lord. I wonder if you've ever visited a place or a building and just been mesmerized by it. Maybe you've been able to see it from afar, and as you get closer and closer, it transforms before your eyes into an amazing spectacle of architecture or color, or maybe both. But I wonder what made it beautiful to you. I'm sure if we went round the church, everyone would have a different building and a different reason why that particular place was important to them. We recently visited Windsor Castle, and I'm not sure what I expected when I walked into the St. George's Chapel, as it's a place of worship within a royal castle which is still in use by the royal family. But the stained glass window was amazing, and just the colour and the vibrancy of how it looked. Outside just looked like part of the castle, but as soon as you went inside, you are stunned by the colour that was there. Somewhere that's possibly not quite so beautiful is the Shard in London. And when I went, after it first opened, to go up to the viewing platform, we both stood outside London Bridge Station going, "Where is it?" Looking all the way around us going, "Well, where is it?" Only to realise it was literally right above us. But the temple that Jesus is talking about in the reading from Luke was about 46 metres high, not quite the 310 of the Shard. But it still could be seen from miles around, having been up on the Temple Mount, and was on the site of the first temple that was destroyed in 582 BCE, and then it was rebuilt. Herod then added to the second temple in order to make it the most beautiful place ever. One commentator described it as, "You could see its bling from a long way off. It was a stunningly beautiful temple." Others record it as being like seeing a snow-clad mountain in the distance as you approached it. Unlike the Shard that we just could not see for looking, you could not miss the temple. And that is what the people in verse 5 of Luke's Gospel from our reading are talking about. How beautiful the temple was. How it was adorned with beautiful stones, And I probably sat there looking at it with awe and wonder. And then Jesus enters stage left, comes into the conversation, and tells them that it's going to be completely destroyed and not a stone left. And no one seems to question him about this. They ask when it's going to happen or for a sign, but they don't laugh at him and go, "You're nuts, you're mad. Who's going to destroy this beautiful temple?" We have the benefit of hindsight. We know that in 70 CE, the temple was in fact completely burnt to the ground by the Romans, and the temple was destroyed once again. And then Jesus carries on, as we heard, to say that the end is coming, to be wary of false teachers and look for signs of the end. I'm not sure today's message from our gospel is a good news message of any kind. In fact, none of our readings today make easy reading. They're not uplifting in our thoughts or our hearts. They talk of persecution, of wars, of famines, of plagues. As one commentator put it, this is an odd Sunday in November. If you think about the Sundays we have in November, we have All Saints at the very beginning. We then have the second Sunday is Remembrance. The third week, which is this week, the second Sunday before Advent for us. And then next Sunday is Christ the King. So this third Sunday in November is a little bit of a strange one, particularly with those readings. So what, if anything, can we take from these strange readings about the end of the world on this odd middle Sunday in November? I wonder if it's this: to keep calm and to carry on. Or, as the last verse of our second reading this morning said, don't become weary in doing what is right. If we take what Jesus is saying literally, then I think we're wrong. For wars have come and gone and are still happening. Being persecuted and arrested for Jesus' name is still happening around the world today. We have earthquakes and natural disasters, as well as famines. And for us here in the UK, we don't have any of that at present. We see conflicts happening around the world, but not to us personally. What we are to take from this is we are not to lose hope or faith in God. That we keep calm and we carry on in our belief in God. And that we continue to place our hope and our trust in Him and Him alone. We may not know the timings, for God alone knows when things will happen. And so what do? We just carry on doing what is right and in keeping with all that we know about God. A God who loves us and a God who is with us every step of the way through life, whatever that brings to us. Those in Jesus' time thought that the temple was a place that God resided in, a place where they took their sacrifices and they went to worship. But the kingdom of God that Jesus talked about in the Gospels is not tied to a place, but is tied to people. To those who believe in Jesus as God's Son, those who strive to do what is good and right in the eyes of God, even when the world expects them to do something else. Those who carry on despite the family worries, the ill health concerns, and concerns for friends and family abroad. Those who do not grow weary in doing good. And above all else, love will always come out on top, every time, without a shadow of a doubt. So I think what this reading is saying to us today, in a very, very English way, is just to keep calm and carry on trusting in God. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. God, give you grace to follow his saints in faith and hope and love. Christ our King, make you faithful and strong to do his will, that you may reign with him in glory. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among you and with all those whom you love, now and always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.